Hey, Pool Chasers. Thank you for joining us on episode 133. Well, 2020 is coming to a close, and to say it has been a crazy year would definitely be an understatement. We've all had to make some adjustments and some sacrifices, but we think we've pulled together through it pretty well as a community. This year started off with a bang for us. We traveled to Houston, Atlantic City, Orlando, Minneapolis, and Long Beach, all in the first 3 months finishing off our live tour. Then the pandemic came, and all new challenges were thrown our way. Juggling in-person interviews with all the sanitizing that's involved, and mastering Zoom calls, which I know we've all had to kind of embrace. All in all, we've had 52 great episodes this year, and we want to give a big shout-out to all of our guests as they did a terrific job. We also want to thank our sponsors and Patreon supporters, who we cannot do this without. And most of all, we want to thank you, our listeners, who inspire us each day with your stories of growth. Let's all embrace 2021 with open arms, and we look forward to seeing what comes next. Happy New Year's, everybody. Please enjoy the 2020 recap episode. Welcome to your go-to podcast for the pool and spa industry. My name is Tyler Rasmussen.
And my name is Greg Viafania. And this is the Pool Chasers Podcast.
79.
I think one thing that's changing is a sense of community in this industry. I've been almost 20 years in this industry. And 15 years ago, there was so much more of an attitude of my competitors are my enemies, or they're people that I'm trying to really work against. And I'm seeing all kinds of examples of people working together and just creating a community, realizing that if we all get better, it's going to lift everybody. I think you guys are creating a new community of listeners that are all sharing a certain mindset. And they're, you know, the people that listen to your podcast are sharing the spirit that you guys bring to this. And they feel like they're all rising together, and they feel less of a competitive thing.
80.
That really automation really simplified things. The Pentair automations, like systems like the IntelliTouch and EasyTouch, and our new system, IntelliCenter, are still the best solutions for those pool spa combos and pools with water features that require a valve. But for all those, the rest of those simple single body of water pools that don't have automation, IntelliConnect can really be a great solution for the pool owner that wants a simpler, more convenient way to operate their pool. The IntelliConnect takes out the complication of the pool equipment, and as I mentioned, puts it onto something which pool owners are familiar with operating, their phone. You know, and pool owners, just it takes that intimidation away from them.
81.
You've got to care about what you're doing. If you don't really care on the inside, you're not going to produce anything of any value. If you're going to hire people, you need to hire people based on the inside, that they care about what they're doing. People say to me, well, you've worked there for 40 years. And I say, you know what? I haven't worked a single day in the last 40 years. I get up in the morning. I go do my thing. I care about what I'm doing. The customers know I care. Because if you care, you're going to return that phone call. If you care, you're going to go do that service call. If you care, everything happens as long as you care. If you don't care, you're not going to have a good company. So my suggestion to any new employee or employer, go down to your heart. If you care about what you're doing and you're enjoying what you're doing, everything's going to turn out just fine.
Thank you. That's powerful stuff right there.
Yeah, it's awesome. Sure.
82.
We do training, I think, pretty well. I heard it from Howard Weiss of Contemporary Watercrafters. He's retired now, and I think David Hall said it too. But that saying, you know, what happens if we invest in developing our people and then they leave? And what, you know, right, we all think about that. I'm going to train them how to take care of pools, and they're going to leave and compete against me. And our philosophy is, what happens if we don't train them and they stay? You know, and that would be bad.
That's scary.
And,
that's a good one.
So we just kind of, we subscribe to that theory, like, let's be a really good place to work. Let's train them really well. Let's be a really good place to work. And we sincerely believe that we're better off with them and they're better off with us, kind of a 1 + 1 = 3. And hopefully, and I think most of them do see that.
83.
I think one of the biggest opportunities is building trust amongst the two legacy groups and kind of having everybody move in the right direction. I love the fact that this industry is passionate. The passion comes for what they do. You know, folks said, just so you know, once you get in the pool industry, you never leave. And that tells me that the commitment and the fact that they, it's a fun industry and they love what they do. We want to use that as an opportunity to tell folks that you should consider this industry. College admission, they're declining. People don't want to go to college for 4 years and carry that debt, and they're looking for trade. So we really want to showcase that there's a viable career option here. You can earn a great living and you can have fun doing it. And look at this room with some pretty amazing people who are passionate and love what they do. So I think that's a tremendous opportunity for this industry.
84.
Yeah, because you're only as good as the person that you referred. And you're right. And they're going to look at, so if you referred some shyster out here, well, guess what? Now that customer is going to associate you with being a shyster.
Exactly.
For sure. So that's the other thing is, you know, when we send each other into the backyard, we know, hey, Lewis is going to be here at this time. Bill's going to be at this time. Dr. J is going to be here then. We know it's going to get done, and we can feel confident about referring each other there versus, you know, oh, hey, that guy you referred never called me back. Then the other guy you referred me to ended up overcharging me for something, and he owes me money. I'm like, oh my gosh. So Yeah, getting back to that, you're only as good as the people that you refer.
85.
I think what I love about pools is I just have fond memories of a kid going to Pennsylvania and my aunt and uncle's pool, which was just an above ground pool and nothing special, but just like playing in the water and cooling off. And to me, it's just an intimate experience to create something that people are going to get in and play and have fun. And you know, a garden is beautiful. You can look at it. Yeah, you can walk through it. But a pool, you're like immersed in that creation. And, you know, I just love the idea of building something that someone's going to be immersed in your creation, looking around in awe at, you know, the waterfalls and the landscaping, the lighting, you know, all those features. It's just very rewarding. So after that first pool remodel, I was hooked.
86.
Human beings have a desire to spend their time with people more like themselves. And that's something you have to get over in business. You need people that complement your weak side. There's no sense linking up with people that just overlap with what you're capable of.
Yeah, I think I tell Dave all the time, I will never hire like a yes man. I don't want the yes man. I don't want somebody to come to me and be like, yeah, whatever you say. No, I'm not right. I'm human. I'm imperfect. You're imperfect. Everybody's imperfect. Challenge me, you know, bring your own ideas to the table. We listen. Like,
yeah.
And I think that's why me and Dave, you know, respect each other so much, because he knows I got plenty of opinions and I'm not afraid to tell him, and he's got opinions and he's not afraid to tell me.
87.
Started going to trade shows and started being asked about teaching and how this stuff was used. And what I kind of found was that people thought of it as a art early on, and they weren't quite sure exactly why things were working for them and what was the way to use these tools properly.
Sure.
And I discovered that it wasn't necessarily an art, and if it was, the people who were consistently successful at it were doing similar things, and they were treating it more like it was a science. And that's where I figured out that, you know, this could be taught in such a way that people could really understand the science and the process and the physics and what equipment worked. And that's kind of where we started building and growing a little bit, and recognizing that this really was a niche that could be filled and other people could continue to be successful at it. It wasn't just the artists that could be.
88.
When you think about what most organizations do when they need to hire somebody, they really get almost so specifically focused on finding somebody who has the right skill set or the right experience or background that if they meet those criteria, we sign them up, they've got a job, they start working. And we've not really put them through the filter of core values yet. And so what happens is we end up with people in organizations who are good at what they do, but they're just – nobody likes working with them. They're the jerks in the company, and they're really toxic, and they're affecting our culture and other employees. And sometimes they'll run off other employees who are great employees and great fits because we're not dealing with the cultural misfit of those individuals. And it's hard to smoke out because we don't have clear core values to use as a measuring stick.
89.
A model that I've been toying with and we're going to institute is, hey, you know, we're to a size now where people – They'll know brand name recognition of Sparkle and Splash. They want to be a part of the organization or a customer. But if they want first class service, you know, you go to first class, you get 20 people up there with one person. It's very specialized service. We can do that. You want to be serviced on a certain day. You want to have a text cell phone number. You want to get instant response, 2-hour callbacks, whatever the case is. Yeah, we'll set it up. We can accommodate that, but yeah, you're going to pay for it. And a lot of people are okay with that. But then there's people who just want to make sure their pool is, ready for them, you know, on the weekends. You know, they don't need any special handholding, but they want to be associated with a brand name. We're able to accommodate that as well.
90.
Independent contractor and owner, it's exactly what you just said. You know, you just don't have that control. You don't want to overstep boundaries. The laws are put into play that you can't direct them. You know, you can't have company meetings and things like that. So you lose a lot of control and a lot of quality control. But then that goes into a whole other area of you trying to build and develop your brand. And then now all of a sudden that's, you know, getting a lot of cracks in the armor. So when you have employees, you know, that's the opposite. You're basically now building that brand. You're building that loyalty. You're building everything that you want as far as your vision. You have company meetings. You get everybody on the same page. Everybody kind of dials in because they're more vested into being an employee and being part of something rather than, well, I'm just a part of this company and 5 other companies. And if this guy gives me an attitude, then, you know, there's always some other guy out there looking for, you know, give me 20, 30 pools to go do. So
what does your customer think when you go to sign somebody up as a customer? Hey, you know, okay, it's going to be X amount per month. Here's what we're going to do. Then the pool tech shows up in your customer's mind. Is he an independent contractor? Is he a bona fide employee of Brothers Pool Service? And then, you know, so if you look at it from that standpoint, whatever story you got going on with the relationship with your worker, if it's a 1099 W-2, what your customer think? And most customers, I don't think, are savvy enough to really understand the difference. But I look at it because crap is happening at our place every day. There's something going on. But what happens when there's a work-related injury and then there's no insurance? So you got to kind of look at it from the customer's point of view, what their perspective is when they hire Brothers or Precision or Pure Swim or Pine Pools. What is their impression of the person in the backyard?
We all know these companies. We compete against them all the time. And that this is the problem, you know, that we'll get into talking about, but it's like leveling the playing field. We are not doing the same job. We are both quoting pool service and talking about doing pool service, but your cost of doing business is completely different than our cost of doing business because you have all of these guys you call employees, and they may have really nice uniforms, and maybe even they have the cool decals on their truck. Maybe they're their personal trucks, but I paid for the decals, whatever. It doesn't matter how you look from the outside. It's the paperwork that matters. And yeah, it takes something as little as a dog bite or something that could be completely out of your control, like a car accident. Car accidents in this business are a big deal. There's hazmat involved. We have chemicals in our truck that when they mix, it creates big problems. And it may have nothing to do with how careful this person was. And they may not be a bad person that's trying to get after you as a business owner, but stuff happens and there are questions you will have to answer as the owner of the company, and they are going to be expensive.
91.
About half of our members, they design on a laptop and they take that and present it live in front of a homeowner. Now that could be in their house, or they might want to bring that homeowner into their own environment in their office. But they want an interactive presentation on their computer, because inevitably what happens is there's going to be some change requests or some ideas, which in a balanced view, you definitely want to encourage, right? So if you can get the wife to pick the color of flowers that goes under the kitchen windows, she's now made an emotional investment in that project. and she's more apt to buy it and more apt to remember you when she left because she feels she contributed to it. That's why pool builders often do the interactive presentation.
92.
The website, 100% PHTACoronaUpdate.com. It is updated daily. It's updated almost hourly sometimes with the information that flows through our staff, through our chapters and everything. I also think that it's really important to just reiterate how our members need to tell their story. And they can use all of the resources that we're creating to make that happen, but it's got to be their story. Because if there is a void of information, their customers are going to create their own stories. So if they can use our resources and use the information and intelligence that we are gathering from the membership to help them help themselves, that's 100% a success for us as an industry.
For sure. 93.
And it reminded me of my trip to Japan and how they could, you know, like slow down time and sip tea while watching the snow fall in the Japanese garden. And, you know, in our fast-paced life, I thought, man, people need to do that more often. So I'm trying to deliver that place of respite at home. And how do you actually achieve that? And, you know, some of the things that I've noticed is, you know, good design, you know, should really kind of quiet the noise and bring a sense of calming reflection. And it makes us appreciate beauty that's really around us every day, but we take it for granted.
94.
We try to make it easy for both the consumer and the contractor to offer these options. I think the last thing you want to do, like in your instance, is get excited about offering financing. And then as it turns out, the financing makes it worse. You know, the customer has a bad experience, or it takes too long to get an answer, or you are charged a fee or charged things outside the box that maybe you, the contractor, and the consumer weren't planning on. So I totally agree with you there. You want to offer the option, but you also want to offer the right option too.
95.
If your water is 0.0, it can't get any more balanced than that. But there's a comfort zone. There's a cushion in there, minus 0.3 up to positive 0.3. Anywhere in there is fine. You're balanced. You're close enough to balance that the water's happy. And I like to think about, like, if you had a line at 0.0 and you had a rubber band on it, if you like hang a rubber band off of your finger, it's going to be loose down to a certain point. And then if you lift it up, it's going to be loose up to a certain point. Let's just say that the extent of where it's loose is minus 0.3. And at the top, it's plus 0.3. Anything within the loose slack of the rubber band is totally fine. But the further you get away from 0.0, you start putting tension on that rubber band. And it's going to, the water's going to pull back proportionally based on how far you go from zero. It's always trying to get back into that comfortable range.
96.
I heard somebody successful say, in life, you're going to pay a price. You're going to pay the price of discipline, or you're going to pay the price of regret. The bottom line is that you set that alarm for 5:36 in the morning. 100%, bro. You can pay the price of discipline, get your ass out of bed, work out, eat right, set your day, set your attitude, right? And if you don't wake up early, you're still paying a price, because after 25 years of bad habits, you're going to wake up 50, 60, 70 years old and not have whatever you could have had if you would have got up early and paid the price of discipline. So the bottom line is that you don't cash that check of regret until 20 or 30 years later, but you will have to cash that check, right? And you will cash a really healthy check of discipline, or you will cash a really unhealthy check of regret because you were undisciplined.
97.
The pool opening customer is a really important customer. And the reason I say that is because we probably close, I would say that we would close at least twice as many pools as we open. Okay, because a lot of people are comfortable opening a swimming pool themselves, right? So they can pull the cover off, right? You know, they can figure out how to put the plugs in. They turn it on. Something's squirting somewhere. It's like, oh, where'd this plug go? Oh, that's where it went, you know? So we have a lot of homeowners that may open the pool themselves, but they don't close, right? So blowing out the lines, making sure they do that correctly, that's a little bit of a bigger deal. So for me, when we open somebody's pool, that's a big deal. You know, they're paying for us to open. So we kind of need to go the extra mile.
98.
It's an old farmhouse. And so there was like a detached barn next to the house. It's all in the woods. And then there was an old stone steps that went up into the woods behind the house. The client said to my dad, he says, we're going to put the pool right here next to the barn. It's going to be a 20 by 40, whatever. And my dad goes, okay, what's up those stairs up there though? The client's like, just woods. Why? So, well, let's take a walk up there. So they take a walk up the stairs, and it's all woods, but there's this huge rock on one side and then another rock on the other side, probably about 40 feet apart or so. And my dad goes, all right, so if we're going to build the pool here, what we're going to do is we're going to build the pool in between these two rocks. There's going to be a waterfall off that rock over there flowing down in. We're going to do a vanishing edge on this side with another waterfall coming off over this big rock. We're going to put a beach area over there, and you'll come up and you'll just see all that once you come through the gate that'll be here at the top of the stairs. Clown's like, all right, let's do it.
Other companies didn't even see it, right?
No.
No.
99.
So we just recently introduced the IntelliCenter upgrade kits back in February. And basically what these kits do is they allow you to retrofit an EasyTouch system and basically make it IntelliCenter capable. What this does is it allows you to retrofit your existing system without making the investment into a full IntelliCenter kit or system.
100.
That football season, man, was one of the funnest times of my life. I mean, me being quarterback and you being a receiver and being best friends, couldn't really ask for like more fun. I mean, it was such a
good time.
So fun, man. I mean, I'm going to like Chinese buffet before practice.
Dude, we are crazy, dude.
But I remember I wrote this down. Red Bull had just become legal, like right. Like they had it, but before they wouldn't let people under 21 drink it. Like you weren't allowed to.
Really?
Yeah. Like our senior year, it became like on the shelves where you could buy it. And I remember that was like the craziest. Now I drink energy drinks all the time and barely feel it. But like then, before energy drinks were around, like when Red Bull came out, man, and that was like senior football season, dude, I remember feeling like sitting there, your hands are just shaking. You're so amped up. And that was crazy. But it was energy drinks, Chinese food before practice, like all kinds of crazy stuff. But we always call it 21 to 51 because I was 21, you were 51. I had a ton of fun. One of my favorite ones, I think, was the Joshua Springs game, which I was talking about you, your parents coming and seeing that game because you had a lot of catches, but I threw two touchdowns to you and we had a lot of fun. One of them was the last play of the game was your second touchdown, which was cool. We still lost by like 20 points, but that's a typical Victor Valley Christian score. But you just learn to appreciate the fun parts of losing. And when you go to a Christian school, so
yeah,
but that game was cool. And Sam and your dad were there and I think your grandma was there too, but
yeah,
it was super fun.
It was so much fun. Cause it wasn't for the first time, wasn't worried about what I was going home to. I mean, we were in the mother-in-law quarters or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Where I don't know, man, we were pretty much just like roommates and be on these road trips and then get to go like back home and man, it was seriously like a freaking dream.
Yeah.
Had such a good time like playing football together.
Pentair is adding technology to help ease the experience of owning a pool. Take control of your pools with their all-new automation control panel, IntelliSync, and the Pentair Home app. With the IntelliSync, you will get affordable automation, 24/7 pump control by monitoring via the Pentair Home app, easy installation, which will actually allow you to plug directly into a 120-volt outlet, freeze protection, which helps safeguard the pump in cold weather conditions, and you will receive maintenance alerts to stay ahead of any issues. This can all be done through the Pentair Home app, which allows the ability to command all of a home's water systems at any time. It gives your customers peace of mind by giving them instant status information and monitoring from home or away 24/7. It notifies them when equipment needs attention, and it has the ability to connect them with a trusted professional like you. Stay smart, connected, and protected with Pentair. Learn more about the IntelliSync and the Pentair Home app at Pentair.com or click the link below.
101.
The number one, by far, number one worst habit. most common, most prevalent, most consequential habit that we see nationwide is the abuse of muriatic acid. There's all sorts of variations of how you can abuse it. So I use that broad term with impunity. Abusing acid generally comes from not measuring it, not dosing it right, not adding it right. And when it comes to startups and all these other remedies for issues, adding way too much of it, using it as a fix when it shouldn't really be used as a fix, acid is used as the coverall duct tape of the pool industry in so many ways.
102.
I would say go to Google and type in Google My Business. From there, you'll be able to register your company, submit your services, your target area, your hours of operation. Okay. You can also add photos. None of this costs you a dime. Okay. Take a couple good photos, link to your website. And then those reviews are certainly very important. So on your Google My Business page, which hasn't cost you any money yet, get customers to leave you reviews. Okay. When the customer leaves you a Google review, now that homeowner who sees you says, okay, 52 Google reviews, a 4.9 rating. Let me read the recent ones. This is your social proof. And social proof is huge, right? And so your social proof comes from your Google My Business page, reflecting job well done, photos, link to website, and a phone number for them to call.
103.
The beauty of the robotic cleaners is they don't require any pump, meaning you plug them, you know, in your outlet in the 110, you bring that cleaner to the side of the pool, and then you just let the cleaner submerge in the pool and use a power supply. You turn it on, and it's really, it does all the work after that. So it's very easy to install. It's very easy to operate, and it does not require the pump to clean. And now you can have your robot do the work while the pump it's off. And of course, you can have both simultaneously working together. But, you know, the beauty of the robots is it saves money to the end consumer. The robotic also have, it really takes 5 minutes from unpacking to start cleaning. It's a plug and play.
104.
You know, I had used aluminum poles for, you know, 20 plus years and dealt with, you know, all the frustrations that come along with using, you know, those products. Can't find I like the one that had the, you know, internal cam lock and then, you know, external compression lock. And I couldn't find the parts to, I'm a very conservative person. I would rebuild them, you know, I'd make it last as long as I could, you know, just kill me if I had to go buy another pole, so to speak. But, you know, and then I did notice that, you know, gauge of the metal was thinning out, and I'm going, you know, this is just not the same. It's, you know, and I can't find parts to rebuild it, and it doesn't rebuild well. And I trim and re-drill the front end and that kind of thing, make it last as long as I could. When I had the opportunity to build this new pole, I mean, I wanted to, well, the idea was to design out all the frustrations that we had with our using our aluminum products. Every person that comes up to us at the trade show, yeah, do you carry a channel lock with you? You know, when your pole freezes, your cam lock freezes up. Yeah. Okay. Or you have to go out to your truck to, you know, unlock the thing. It's just all these common ailments. And then there's the weight, you know, the stronger the stronger pole you want, it gets heavier and heavier. So you have that. So we had the chance to work on this, you know, with carbon fiber tubing. We wanted to design out all those, wanted a real quick and easy way to extend the lock and lock the pole. That was one thing. And then by nature, you know, carbon fiber, which is basically a brand in itself, everybody knows it's, you know, it's strong. It's five times stronger than aluminum, and it weighs the same or less. So working on the, you know, better locking mechanism and working on something that could be durable, you know, because you really beat up your tools in the pool industry.
105.
Pool plan, it's the secret of success as a general contractor. And, you know, I don't know really anyone else using it on the residential side. It's a commercial technique. So, for example, when a commercial builder is building a hotel, like a high-rise hotel or skyscraper, maybe you're in Manhattan or, you know, a downtown area where it's very congested, there's a lot of coordination. Anyone that's done those structures, they understand. You know, when I was in college, I worked on hotels, and there's a staging, right? There's how do you stage the project? And it's how do we expedite and the process and all the people on site, right? And, you know, as you're building vertically and then you're trying to finish interiors as you're going up, you know, it's very complex. So what happens is at a pool plan meeting, you'd bring in the front end trades and they sit in a room, and it's typically an all day conference on that level. And it's at a very high level that you're executing. Okay, John, how many days do you need, you know, to get the steel structure in? You know, Jeremy, how many days do you need, you know, to come in and do the mechanical? And so, and everyone's staging and committing to each other. So we've taken that same mindset and application into the residential. So what we do in our pool plan, we have three phases of pool plan. So when we start a project, we take the pool plan meeting to concrete, to slab on grade. Then we take, then we do another pool plan meeting to drywall, and then another one to finish. So it's phase one, two, three. And what happens is, so all those front end trades, so going back to our Scottsdale example, everyone that's working on the home to slab. So that's grading, civil, pool, waterproofing, mason, right? Excavator. Like all these trades come and they sit in our conference room at my office, and we go through that schedule and we'll get a commitment from Jeremy. Okay, Jeremy, we're going to have, you know, first off, we'll get our trees, you know, grubbed and relocated on the property. And then we're going to have our excavator come and he's going to start digging the levels of the hillside. We're going to start phase one retaining walls, you know, waterproof, or when you're going to come in and get it waterproofed. Okay, now we can start on phase two. Okay, Jeremy, now it's going to be ready for you on July 15th. How long is it going to take you to dig the pool, you know, and then do plumbing and shotcrete? And so everyone's committing, so they're meeting. So Jeremy, you know, will be in this meeting, all of our other trade partners. So now they're not only, they know face-to-face who the concrete guy is, who the plumber is, you know, who the electrician is, who the excavator is, you know, and the pool builder. And so everyone knows each other. They're all committing. And then we put that in our schedule. So instead of me just building a schedule, saying, Jeremy, this is when you're scheduled, an excavator, everyone's committing to that and they have to live by it. And what it does now, it allows everyone to work quicker, more efficiently, be more profitable, and it takes 2 to 3 months off my build schedule.
106.
We pretty much stock almost anything electrical-wise that you would need for pool, spa. We do get into some landscape electrical stuff also. So almost anything that you would be needing electrical-wise, we would have it. There's almost no other pool distributor that we could say that would probably even come close to what we're stocking. The other nice feature is that we stock on our pipe and on our fittings. We stock everything from half inch up to 8 inch in almost every branch. Ultimately, if you're working on the little residential backyard or you're working on a big commercial job that you're needing plumbing on, you should be able to walk into almost any of our locations and find what you're going to be needing to replumb that job. We also get into a lot of galvanized, black galvanized. We do a lot of the gas fusion, the poly pipe, and all that stuff. So those are just some of the products that we supply that I feel really differentiate pool electrical products from anybody else.
107.
So then you get to the body of the email, right? Which is the big crucial piece that needs to be clarified. And it should be written in short passages, one or two sentences. And if you're breaking things down like a bid, trying to provide clarity on what you're talking about, you know, using bullet points or using numbered lists helps people read. It's just, you know, documented that like people see things in a list or you see things down in bulleted points, then you really see what's important and what each thing is about. You're not having a run-on sentence that just says, you know, we checked out your impeller, we checked out this, we checked out that. You know, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that. It's like, that's very confusing if it's written in a big block of words and people will get lost. So if you have a specific like things that you're trying to point out, bullet point them or number them so that it's very easily read.
108.
Well, the way that I would characterize it is that we got a lot of smart people working in our lights product line at Pentair. And what those smart people do is they kind of tackle the problem of putting a light underwater and break it apart into smaller problems that they can solve. So like, okay, how do you have a piece of electronics that can be submerged in all different temperatures 24 hours a day and not leak. Okay, well, the way that we do that is we have somebody like Ray, who's on our lights engineering team, who tackled the problem of making the electrical cord seal into the housing of the light. And so, you know, he's analyzing the cord and thinking about the housing and the diameter of that hole and what material do we make the seal out of so that water doesn't leak in there. And so, you know, the question is, how does the light work underwater? It's this whole series of different little problems that are solved. So the lens gasket, you know, at some point that lens gasket is someone's project for months where they're testing different materials and different sizes and different diameters and kind of just breaking the problem down into a series of little challenges that we eventually solve to make a product that has all the bugs worked out and it's easy to service, easy to install, easy to use, hopefully has a long service life without leaking. And that's because we have people methodically working through the experimental testing, working with our test lab crew to put lights under pressure and put them underwater and run them at cold temperatures and hot temperatures and then get them out in the field and do field testing with our field testing group. And just, you're putting all these resources and people around the product to make sure that it can work underwater. So when it comes down to it, it's a waterproof housing with a light inside, but it's actually all these different kind of specialties that are coalescing around the product offering to make sure that it can be really successful and functional and hopefully exceed customers' expectations.
109.
And I'll explain the difference between hydraulics and plumbing so you understand. You can be a plumber and you can do plumbing. And what that means is you're installing the pipes, you're running the lines. Hydraulics is actually the science of it. It's the properties of the water and how they are in the system. So a lot of guys are plumbers and maybe they know plumbing, they can follow a plan set, but they're not masters of hydraulics. They don't understand the implications of what they do necessarily. They may have some basic understanding of it, but that's the difference. If you understand hydraulics, that means you know not just what to install, but how and why you're installing what you're doing. That's the difference.
110.
So when I mentioned earlier, you're creating a recurring job and you're giving us the parameters by which you're showing up to that job. So every 2 weeks on Wednesday, for example, underneath that, we're going to ask you for the parameters of when you want to invoice. And again, this is where when you come to Jobber, we're going to ask you a bunch of questions. Do you invoice after every job? Do you invoice at the end of the month? What does a typical invoice schedule look like for you? We can match whatever that schedule might be. So let's say in this example, you guys tell me we just invoice at the end of the month for all of our visits that month. You tell the software we want to invoice the last day of the month and you turn on automatic payments because you've already vaulted a credit card on file. What that's going to do is at the end of every month, it's going to collect all the visits that you had. So two, let's say, are biweekly. So two visits this month. It'll collect those visits. It will create an invoice. It will automatically pay the invoice using the card on file. And it's going to send a completed receipt and invoice to the client.
111.
What we're trying to let you all know is it's important to have a plan before even contacting the photographer. If you know you're on these 5-10 social media platforms, make sure that you understand, you know, how you're going to use these photos on each one of these platforms, and maybe even note what sizes you're going to need. That way, when you contact a photographer, you can actually have a shot list of what you want. And that way, you know exactly what to do with those photos once they come back to you edited.
112.
Fountains are art. At the end of the day, that's what they are. So a body of water, it's going to have a transfer pump. The pump will sit below water level and usually in a valve box. And there'll be a flooded suction line, which means that pump has to, all the water has to run downhill to the pump. And it will push the water to whatever feature or decoration is coming out. And that's essentially what a fountain is, just a decorative piece of a backyard.
113.
Okay, so the master service program is a tiered program that was built to recognize and reward participants who take the time and effort to improve their educational background surrounding the support and service of a swimming pool and its equipment. That's basically what it's all about. It is targeted towards the service person, the person that's going into the backyard and looking at equipment and recognizing when there's an issue and a problem. And we feel so strongly that the education portion of our industry is so important. And that's the reason we built this program around that education.
114.
Weirdly enough, the story is, I'm a marketeer, but I'm also a designer. And I've come across this photo of this perfect pool guy. I mean, he was dressed in white shorts and a white t-shirt, buff. His teeth were, you know, sparkly clean. And he was standing in the background with a pole with this very elegant, mature woman with a martini in her hand in the foreground. And I went into the boss and I'm like, oh my God, I found the photo of the perfect pool guy. And we kind of laughed and chuckled and I said, well, you know, maybe we should do, you know, a perfect pool guy competition. And it was a slightly kind of tongue in cheek, but that was the seed of the idea. It was really, you know, how do we connect with the pool guy and the service people? And in a way that resonates with them, not just typical, you know, corporate type of marketing. So we put out the competition. We put it out through Aqua Magazine and Pool and Spa News and Service Industry News and, you know, all of our great relationships out there in the field with the publications, and opened the contest on our website. And to our surprise, in the first week, we got some amazing entries. My pool guy saved my house by using the water out of my pool when the bushfire came, or my pool guy supports the industry and he does all the charity work around town cleaning everyone's pools who can't afford it. And we suddenly realized that, oh my God, you know, the last bastion of true backyard hero existed in the pool and spa industry within the serviced area.
115.
Here we have with the extreme change in climate here, you know, you could close a pool and it'd be perfectly balanced, you know, at 75 degrees. Well, over the course of the wintertime, it's going to go down to 35 degrees, right? Could even go below freezing. So if you know the saturation index and you look at the temperature factor, you know, that will significantly change, you know, what that's going to do to the balance of the water. So it's always a tricky thing to, what are you balancing the water to? Are you balancing to where you are? Or are you going to balance it to where it's going? So that's a tricky conversation to take on, but it's definitely something that we're balancing the water. And for the most part, unless they have new plaster, it's generally not too much trouble for you to balance it as you close. And then when you open back up, you're generally in a pretty good spot.
116.
Well, what's cool about that too is our focus on pools is with the light, you know, there's lights at different angles at any time during the day. So you have where the sun's at and how it's reflecting on the tile. It could be where the tile is on the pool. You might have one area where you're not seeing any of the iridescence. Other area might be completely almost blinding iridescence, right? Like glowing. The thing that's really neat about that is it's always changing. So at any given time of the day, your pool, the look of your pool is going to look different. And that really, you know, is reflective of what's going on in nature and how the sun works with the ocean and the sand. You know, we also made a lot of tiles, just like we have ones called sand dunes and things like that, where it's just that natural flow of sand or water or material kind of shows up in some of the design work that we do.
117.
You know what? If you're like in constant communication, you're ahead of it and you're with homeowners talking and they know that you're being genuine and honest, you're not going to have problems. I mean, there's some people who are never going to make happy, but if you can constantly be ahead of it and communicate and just be honest, that's going to go a lot further than trying to hide stuff and sweep it under the rug.
118.
As a pool professional, it's really important to make sure you do have that coverage because you're carrying around chemicals every day. That's your job. You go from pool to pool and you put chemicals in pools. So it's, you're driving down the road, something happens, you're on the freeway, get an accident. Most, well, 100% hazmat's going to come out and then you're going to get this beautiful bill in the mail. So you want to make sure you do have hazmat coverage as a pool professional. And our policy, for example, we have hazmat coverage built in. So they're going to, let's just say you get an accident, your auto will pick up so much. If they don't pick up the whole thing, then we'll add an additional $15,000.
Since 1979, Lion Financial has helped make backyard dreams come true nationwide. Lion Financial is a specialist in pool financing solutions, offering low rates, long terms, and unmatched customer service. Their programs offer your customers the best in pool financing options, with programs available for scores of 640 and above. Lion Financial is the industry leader, funding $1 billion in pools in 2020. Lion Financial's experience is unique to pools, not just any type of loan. They are partnering with both the homeowner and the pool builder until the project is completed, ensuring pool professionals are paid on time and in full. It is absolutely free for pool contractors to partner with Lion Financial to grow their business. Lion Financial is committed to providing an excellent customer service experience. Homeowners will never be charged a consulting fee or prepayment penalties, and pool builders will never be charged a swipe fee for accessing their own hard-earned money. When it comes to something as important as a pool and all the memories that come with it, work with the true professionals who have your best interest in mind. With more than 41 years of experience specializing in pool financing solutions, why trust anyone but the experts? To find out more, click the link below.
119.
I think those conversations are extremely important, not just among spouses, but among business partners as well. I mean, you need to know what's going to happen if something happens. I mean, in my family alone, we've had issues. I mean, in the 80s, my dad had cancer. And so he was out for a couple of years, you know, with chemo with that. You know, they were able to adjust and make it through that. My cousin passes away in 2012, and we've had to, you know, adapt and change. There are things that are going to happen in the life of a business. You don't know what's going to happen. You can't really plan for those things, but you have to have a plan in place to know it's going to be okay.
120.
Well, I can tell you what it isn't. It isn't a little swimming pool. and quite frankly, that's how it's approached most of the time. And if you look at most of the regulations and requirements by cities and states for commercial tubs, they treat it like a miniature swimming pool. But a spa, the difference is it's a completely self-contained system. You're dealing with a whole lot less water. And so we've often said that the contamination in a spa with four people in a spa is the equivalent of 100 people in a 30,000 gallon swimming pool. You know, it's a lot of contamination. And everybody that gets in there puts a pint of sweat in. The other thing that you're dealing with is you're dealing with higher pressures, and you're dealing with 100 times more plumbing. I mean, you got a few jets in a pool and a run of plumbing, but in a spa, you've got 300 feet of plumbing and 100 holes in the shell and 500 glue joints. And so there's a whole lot more places to go wrong.
121.
There's some inherent issues with everything, right? Depending on what product you use, there's issues. So if you're using trichlor, what's the big deal? Well, I get cyanuric acid, you know, increases. If I use salt, well, I'm creating a corrosive environment. I mean, you guys wouldn't know this, but in Michigan, we got snow and they put salt on the roads,
right?
To melt the snow. And what does it do? It rusts out your car.
Right.
So, you know, there's things that can happen. The bleach market, I think, is going to probably gain more market share this year as well. But again, inherent issues with bleach, you know, as opposed to a product like a tablet, you know, that's 99% chlorine. You've got something that's 12.5% chlorine. A lot of inert, a lot of water, right? High pH. Tablet has a low pH. So there's problems with everything, but understanding how those products work will help you use them properly and avoid issues.
122.
And do you have any, you know, tips, do's and don'ts for pool service technicians or service companies that are now looking at some of these pools with acrylic?
Sure.
And how to just care for them?
Yeah. Don't ever, ever, ever use a Brillo pad to clean it. You know, because they get this little hazy, like kind of haziness. You see them in like aquariums and stuff sometimes. And they just kind of, they're not really dirty. They just look kind of hazy. We've had experiences in the past where people have like taken Brillo pads to them and just scratch the heck out of them. You know, you don't want to do that. Use a microfiber towel, soap, water. That's the only secret sauce.
Yeah.
And the other thing I tell builders and maintenance and service technicians as well is if you do have to clean a window, and you'd think this would be common sense, but if you do have to clean a window, drain the pool and do both sides. You know, a lot of guys will just clean the outside, you know, like, oh, it's still hazy. Well, there's an inside too. So you got to, there's a little bit of work. You got to drain the pool down. In some cases, depending on where the window's located, to really thoroughly clean it on both sides, it might be a new startup, you know, and go ahead and start the pool up and start over and balance it.
123.
There was a lot of work that went into some decisions around, you know, what kind of sensors are we going to use? And the engineering team did a fair bit of research, but they came up with some sensors that are pretty sensitive about what kind of obstruction they're actually sensing. And then they have some capacity within the software and within the hardware itself to sort of dial in the viewing range for the sensors and all those kinds of things to ensure that when the sensors are picking up data, they can be pretty confident that it's actually an obstruction as opposed to something like you said, a leaf or something like that.
124.
Go back, a big thing. They cost you money, number one. Number two, they're going to be a problem when it comes to your customer service. And now you got to communicate to the customer or the customer's going to call you all mad that this is leaking, this didn't get done right. They rushed through this. I don't know how many calls I get even now. Your guy didn't knock on my door. I didn't even know he was in my backyard. You know, that kind of stuff. It's, you got to have that customer relation to them. You got to. It's their backyard. You're a guest in their backyard. Yeah, you're there to repair something, but you're a guest in their backyard. You got to treat it with some level of respect and do your job right. So, number one, you look good, me in particular, and you make the company look good. And then you get that word of mouth referral to their friends saying, hey, these guys did a great job putting in this equipment. You should really use them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's easier to get customers that way than to have some guy pissed off and then put a bad review on Google or Yelp or whatever. And then you got 100 people seeing that review going, I ain't using them, guys.
Right.
But go backs always cost you money. I mean, if we charge a certain amount to get this job done and you rush through it so damn fast that now you have problems and now you got to go back for free. Mm-hmm. So now you got to go back there and either reuse parts and waste time, not really wasting it because you got to fix it, but you are wasting it because you should have done it right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So now you lost 2 hours of labor and material.
Yep. Because you can't charge them for it.
Yeah, you can't charge them because you messed up.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's not like, well, we messed up, but I got to charge you an extra $150 for this. No, 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 no. Because if I was a customer, I'd be like, nope.
Yep.
You will not be coming in my backyard again.
Yep, yep.
So, yeah, it's key to not having go-backs from every aspect, from the profit and loss in the company to the customer itself and their reviews on your company and the person that was in their backyard. It costs money, but it also costs clientele.
Mm-hmm.
And in this industry, with as competitive as it is and everybody cutthroat undercutting everybody, every Johnny one truck in the world out there trying to make a dollar, that if you do not take care of your customers, they'll disappear on you quick.
Right.
To go with somebody that's $100 cheaper.
Right.
But gets less quality. So the key is to making them happy and getting that quality in their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
125.
The big thing is commitment, man. I mean, it's truly, you have to be committed to, I mean, for me, there's nobody above me that can get the jobs done. If you know what I'm saying, there's nobody there that's going to find the answers. I'm the guy that's going to find the answers. You got to be willing to go out of your way to make it happen. I mean, when there's nobody behind you to finish jobs, you have to be the one, no matter what the issue is, you got to be the one to figure it out.
I think what sets me apart is I have the opportunity, being partially owner of the businesses, to kind of do what I want as far as, do I want to work out in the field today? Do I want to work in the store today? Some pool technicians, they only have a route and that's it. They don't get the chance to do the retail side, you know, to be a sales rep, to talk to our actual sales rep that come into the stores and build that relationship. So, and I actually get a lot of support, knowledge from those guys that come and sell us their products. So I think that that gives me an upper hand. And I think women have a little more attention to detail than men do in aspects of cleaning, servicing pools. So I like to think that I'm a cut above.
126.
When I teach classes to pool professionals, we always talk about how big the pool is. You have to filter 25,000 gallons. And how long does that take? And we do the calculations for turnover rates. How many turnovers do you have to have? Filtration and sanitation, they deal with that 25,000 gallons. When you have to educate a homeowner in not turning the pump off too soon, it hurts circulation. Circulation, we don't really think of it in any other terms other than 25,000 gallons. But in actuality, you're not circulating 25,000 gallons. You're circulating about 208,000 pounds of water sitting in a hole in your backyard. It takes time to make that water move.
127.
Critical, because each one of our filters has, when you look at pressure loss across a filter, you know, one of the things you want to make sure is your inlet and outlet right now, if you've got 2 inches of inlet, 2 inches of outlet, you want the equivalent open square footage of space in your laterals. So when you start looking at these slots and laterals, the number of laterals in the bottom of your filter are determined by this, you know, how many slot openings you have times the width, times the length, calculate that up. And all that should equal the inside diameter of 2 inch pipe or greater. So you don't have pressure loss across the lateral systems. So that's what it is. It basically, in filtration mode, it keeps your sand in the filter and not in the pool. In your backwash mode, it is the diffusing of the water coming in to help fluidize the sand bed or lift the sand bed, fluff the sand bed to get the particles out.
128.
I don't recommend over lubricating any O-ring. Excessive lubrication is going to be a place where dirt and any kind of debris is going to attract itself to. In a tank body O-ring, there's going to be areas of that O-ring that are exposed and dirt can actually stick to it. And with a filter, the filter, as it cycles from pressure to no pressure, it expands and contracts. And that can actually cause that O-ring to move slightly. If there's any dirt or debris stuck to that O-ring, breach the seal and cause a slow drip or a small leak. So I recommend the proper amount of lubricant is going to be just enough to make the O-ring shiny, not have gobs of lubricant on it. Just too much lubricant is always going to cause a problem with any kind of O-ring in our industry.
129.
Cartridge is a non-woven media. And I mentioned, I think, episode one, when you look at the non-woven media under a microscope, it looks like a bunch of spaghetti noodles that are just intertwined. This is sprayed out by a special machine. It's actually plastic threads that's actually sprayed out into this weave pattern. And then it's calendared where it's actually pressed flat. And then it comes in rolls of material where we then take the material, we cut it to length, and then we run it through a machine that actually pleats it into 1.5, 2 inch pleat depths. And after X number of pleats, you cut them off, you fold it back together and make a cylinder and glue and or weld those together and make a cylinder. We place a plastic core in the center of the pleated elements. And then we use epoxy resin on each end to actually hold everything together. So basically this cartridge itself actually is the surface of that area is what filters the particles out of the water.
130.
It really is a super simple process. The Bluetooth pairing process has really simplified getting the product connected. If the signal is good or it's not good, the size of the IntelliSync makes it easy to move around. It's, you know, it's, Adam, I think it's probably 8 inches by
5 inches or so.
5 inches. So, it, as I mentioned, it comes with a 21 foot long power supply. And if you're connecting it to an IntelliFlow, that cable is 50 feet long. SuperFlow VS cable is 25 feet long. So it offers a lot of flexibility with where it can be mounted, and its size is, it's, you know, it's not very large, and you're not connecting it to conduit, so you can move it around and make sure you've got a good signal.
131.
Chloramines are an issue, and like I said, the BioShield system that we sell for residential and the HMAC industry, we went to NSF and we've got a new category created with NSF called water conditioning device. And the main goal of a water conditioning device is to get rid of the chloramines. Chloramines build up on the surface of water, right from the surface up to 6 to 8 inches above the surface. Being a towering 5'5", that's where I'm breathing. I'm not tall enough to get too much further out of the water, even in my play pool. So I'm breathing those chloramines in, and they are having a hazardous effect. Indoor pools, you get people complain that the pool smells like chlorine. That's typically your chloramines. With the certification that we got through NSF for this water conditioning device, we've managed to remove the majority of the chloramines from the water, and you don't get that chloramine smell. Have you ever been to a hotel where you don't even have to ask if they have a pool? You can smell it from the front desk.
Yep.
Situations like that where UV is a major benefit to the system.
132.
My number one is Home Alone. The first one.
The original.
Not the second one.
Very good. Classic.
The original.
I appreciate the second one. I like the first one just because I feel like it's the intro to the story. You get to know everybody. I really identify with him because I had a crappy older brother when I was that age. So it's like, oh, okay. And like the best, like one of the good lines in there is when he breaks into his brother's room and he's looking through all of his stuff. Because any younger brother that had an older brother knows that they were hoarding the good stuff.
Yep.
Their good toys, their, you know, whatever it may be somewhere. And he breaks into it, and he's looking around, and there's a picture of his girlfriend. He's like, ugh, Buzz's girlfriend. Woof!
Oh, classic.
Just a classic line.
Hey, Pool Chasers. Thanks for checking out this episode. Did you know that each episode has its own page on our website? This is where you can find more information about the guests and episode topic, as well as all the resources that we discuss throughout the show. To get to the webpage, click the link below. Also below, you will find links to the sponsors of the show, as well as links to follow us on our social media channels. On our channels, you will find some of our favorite clips and bonus material. Please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Our tag is Pool Chasers. We also have a Facebook group for the Pool Chasers community. Here you will find like-minded professionals all looking to make each other better. One last thing. If the episode has brought you value, please check out our Patreon page to support us. And if you could please rate and review the podcast, we would love to hear what your favorite topics are. Thank you for your time and your ear.
See you out there, Pool Chasers.